This is BBC Radio 4. Our play this afternoon is part of our season of programmes about the Cuban Missile Crisis, 40 years on. It's by a Scots poet and playwright, Liz Lockhead, who takes us back to the autumn of 1962, when Khrushchev in Russia and President Kennedy in America brought the world to the brink of war. While in Scotland, two teenage girls face their own future with trepidation and learn about courage and betrayal. Cuba, by Liz Lockhead.
And now, as we say farewell to the earthly presence of our beloved Jean, we will sing hymn number 424, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go.
To miss your mum, dear. I miss her so much, I can't tell you.
Oh, it's you, Mrs. Johnson. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming.
Okay, dear.
Mr. Henshaw.
Oh, she's a lovely woman. Bye-bye, dear.
Palgrave's golden treasury. Every home should have one. I didn't know we did. I remember the house where I was born. The little window where the sun
came peeping in at morn. It never came a wink too soon or brought too long a day. But now I
often
wish tonight to bore my bed away.
Oh, come on, come on. The sooner you get this done, the sooner you can go home. Palgrave's golden treasury. Not a lot of poetry round our house. Not that I can remember, not when I was growing up. Maybe I should take it back to Sarah. Little souvenir of your grandma, eh? Must have been Mum's. Oh, look. It was a school prize. She was so proud of you, Siri. You two always got on like a house on fire. I know how much you're going to miss her. I'll miss her. Oh, Mum, I miss you so much. Where are you? God! A school photograph of us. There we are. God. And Miss Arthur and Mr. Shaw. And there's old Cairn Cross, look, in the middle of the back row. That's never us. It is so. There she is, and there's me. Back row to the left. There we are. Take this, I should. Wonder if my lot would recognise me. Which one's Mum? Can you see me? Which one am I? That's us. Bernadette and Barbara. Barbara and Bernadette. Inseparable. So they said. So we thought. Thing is, we came from very different families.
Darling, it isn't the end of the world.
It isn't the end of the world.
Don't say that.
Don't say that.
It wasn't the end of the world. It felt like it at the time.
You've got your whole future
in front of
you.
You've got your whole future in front of you.
Oh, what's up with your miserable face? What's the matter with your green face?
Jim!
We won't say anything about this again. Do you hear me now?
Wish you'll get your whole future in front of you.
We didn't think that meant much. Because next week we'd be dead. The whole world would have blown itself to smithereens. The headlines outside the newsagents said so. War. Inevitable. Everybody was really scared. The grown-ups didn't talk about it, not in front of us kids, but we knew they knew it too. It was the end of the world. Tomorrow, the day after, next week at the latest. This was the time of Cuba. This photo here must have been before that. Must have been that summer, end of term. And the Cuban Missile Crisis was for October. Well, look at the picture. Barbara and Bernadette are still joined at the hip. Friendship is still very much an item. This is the class of 62. Miss Arthur. And Mr. Shaw. Heartthrob. Doesn't take much. Doesn't take much, not with a class of 14-year-old girls, does it? And there we are. Barbara and Bernadette. Bernie and Barb. Our mums were both called Jean. Funny that. But there the similarity ended. Barbara Proctor, the doctor's daughter, and Bernadette Griggs, one of those Griggs that breed like pigs. Bernie and Barb. Barbara and Bernadette. Did she ever have a better friend than she was? Say it's Saturday night. A normal Saturday night. The Saturday night before President Kennedy put the shits up the whole world with his game of nuclear poker with the Russians.
Have you one basic dress that can be dressed up for almost any occasion? Oh, Bernie, listen, it's a quiz in the women's own. Are both your stockings seen straight this minute? Have you at least one pair of plain black court shoes?
What to do on that rare, that spare night in?
Pamper yourself, of course.
His wide and grubby elbows drop with a cut linen daily.
Oh, yeah.
Look, bachelor boys, Hollywood style shoes. Rock Hudson finds home cooking great fun as the gang of his friends over once in a while to try out his speciality, barbecue spare ribs. And boy, oh boy, do they taste good.
Let's see. John Wayne favours fish dishes.
Dick Bogart prefers a rag out of veal.
Eh? Oh,
ragu, you. It's French, Bernadette.
Hello.
Tab Hunter is happy with a hamburger.
Oh, I'm starving, Barbara.
Look. Taffy-haired Janet Leigh is the lovely wife of actor Tony Curtis.
Are they not divorced?
Oh, maybe it's our agent magazine. Mum's had them for donkeys. She kids on, she only gets them for the waiting room.
Hollywood, eh?
Oh, I know. This place is a dump. See, when I'm 17, I'm going to dye my hair platinum, buy the highest stilettos I can find, and emigrate to USA, a Canada, a New Zealand, or somewhere.
Australia?
Bernadette, you can go to Australia for £10?
No.
America. I'm dead serious, Barbara.
Oh, no.
I mean it. I've got an aunt in the States. New Jersey. Call this bloody Saturday night.
Oh, here is a dump, isn't it?
Here? I would not pay it if it was on fire. I should drop the bomb on at any time. Do the world a favour.
Bernadette?
What?
Don't say that. Don't say it. In 3 days' time, that'll be exactly what looks like happening. Go back. Earlier that day. Oh, 14 years old and every Saturday it's the end of the world if it's something.
Oh, what's the matter with your greeting
what's
face?
What's the matter with your greeting face?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Well, maybe you've picked out the pattern. Mrs. Petite Capri Pants or Toreadors. You'd place the pattern, you'd make yourself take the time to pin it. Patience and pins, you'd cut them out really, really carefully.
Suitable fabrics. Seersucker, glazed cotton, knits, needle cord, and pique. Allow extra fabric to match large-scale prints.
Or your first fumbling experiments with last through 6 to 8 shampoo, semi-permanent hair colour.
Chestnut charm, northern lights, golden sequins.
Hint of a tint. You'd spend hours in the chemist's poring over the colour chart.
disaster. And the biggest disaster of all, no effect. Total waste of money.
What a waste of money.
You must have a lot more money than sense, my girl. And Bernadette, don't you believe in dirty marks all over my good towels?
No, Mum.
Just watch, Barbara. You don't do any damage to my good singer.
Right, Mum.
Don't you belong there in that bathroom. Your dad's to get in there and get himself shifted.
And mind my shears.
Oh, wee.
Well, Jim, my good dressmaking shears, and she uses them to cut her fringe.
Dyeing your hair at your age. What will the teachers say on Monday?
Mum.
Mum.
What are you supposed to be making anyway?
What colour is it supposed to be going to turn out?
Toreador pants. Golden sequins.
Jim, did you hear that?
What your dad'll say, I don't know.
Mum.
Mum.
Huh? Toreador pants.
Sequins.
Toreador pants. What are they when they're at home with a BTM like yours? Frighten a French.
Make yourself cheap. Ends up bleached looking your dad'll tan your hide, my girl. What the hair oil is golden sequins as a shade for hair?
Jean, I am Jean. I'm trying to my crosswalk. Curtain.
Sometimes I think the whole different backgrounds thing was grossly exaggerated. Although much was made of it at the time. Okay, different class, different attitudes, different standard of living, granted. Different sides of the track, maybe, but I'd say they were far more alike than, well, certainly much more alike than they thought they were.
Cut according to your cloth.
According to your cloth.
Cut according to your cloth. A stitching time says nine. A stitching time says nine. Many a mickle, maxa muckle.
Many a mickle, maxa muckle.
Watch your handbag.
Watch your handbag. People who complain of playing second fiddle should be glad they're in the orchestra at all.
You've got your whole future in front of you.
You've got your whole future in front of you.
You've got your whole future in front of you.
You've got your whole future in front of you.
So see you watch your handbag and stick it. At school.
Saturday night, eh?
Right, Ruth.
Big deal.
Big deal.
I suppose Bernadette's coming round.
I suppose you'll be going round to Barbara's.
Or are you going there for a change?
Or is she coming here for a change?
Well, sometimes I wonder if she's a home to go to.
Her mother will be wondering if you've a home to go to.
Mum!
Mum! Bernadette, doll. Just because you passed your exam and qualified for the high school, there's no reason to treat your brothers like dirt and turn up your nose at everybody else around here.
Barbara Pett, I know you and Bernadette have been the best of pals since you were yon high, but now you're at the big school, have you not made any other nice friends?
Don't you want to be pals with them?
Uh-huh, but my best pals, Bernadette.
My best pals, Barbara. Oh,
to whiten grubby elbows, rub with a cut lemon daily. Is that brave? To lighten a sallow, winter-worn neck, make a bleaching solution by mixing 1 tablespoon of 20 bond peroxide to 3 drops of ammonium.
Oh.
Soak a wide strip of cotton wool, squeeze lightly and wrap around the neck.
Oh.
After 20 minutes, remove, splash skin with tepid water and smear on a soothing cream. I should think it would shake an ocean of calamine lotion. Okay, I saw your big brother.
Which big brother?
My big brother. No, the nice looking one. The next one. The apprentice.
Nice looking nothing.
Is he? With the bike. The butcher's boy.
Butcher's boy? That's the third one. He's as ugly as a pig.
No, he isn't.
So?
Wish I had brother
pig ugly.
Wish I wasn't an only one.
I wish I was an only one.
My brothers are all tow rags. This place is a dump. Oh, look, find your face shape here, then choose the style famous London hairdresser Piers Von Spears has created specially for you.
Barbara, would you say my face was round, square, heart-shaped or oval?
Oval. A sort of roundish oval. Or maybe it's more of a squarish heart shape.
I'm ugly.
Oh, Bernadette, you are not ugly. I'm ugly. I am pig ugly, and Mr. Shaw's getting married to Miss Arthur, and I wish I was dead.
Don't say that. Don't say it. Next week, you'll wish you were back in this week on a normal, boring Saturday, making mountains out of molehills.
What's up with your
face?
I cut the left leg back out, inside out and squeegee.
It's made no difference.
Supposed to be simplicity.
Nobody will notice.
Who's going to be looking at your hair anyway? You're only a wee lassie.
I'll give you something to blink and
I'll give you something to bloody cry for.
Never mind, Pet. Bernadette's coming round, eh?
You're going round to Barbara's?
Where are you two going? Where are you going?
Just to the dinner dance at the golf club in aid of the Rotary.
To stop the miners' welfare for a wee drink.
I don't want to go.
I didn't want to go.
There'll be no night out for me.
There'll be no night out for me.
First, it was, where's his good black silk socks? I says, in your sock drawer beside your hankies. And I suppose I'm to come and find your cummerbund and your ready-tied bow tie for you, as per usual.
No night out for me watching them pour pints down their throats and arguing about outside lefts and inside rights and bloody gollies, no.
No, it'll be no night out
it'll
for me.
It'll be no night out for me.
But it was your dad.
But it was your dad.
He bought the tickets.
Rosa Tralee came up first at the Dugs and he promised Jack Thompson he'd buy him a pint.
And it will be a night out,
it'll
I suppose.
Be a night out, I suppose.
A chance to give my silver shoes an outing.
Shift myself for a wee change.
And after all, it is Saturday night.
And your mum takes off her apron, smooths her dress and barrels.
Single girls, how good a conversationalist are you? How bright will your visitors find your fireside chat this winter? Can you wash a woolen cardigan without shrinking it? Do you know where the main stopcock is?
For use when there's a burst pipe?
Are you a stay-at-home type with no wish to travel? 2 marks for yes, column A, or 2 marks for no, column C? Have you ever made A, a dress, B, a piece of basketry, C, a souffle, or mentally?
Did you not put that rinse through your hair?
Uh-huh. Did you not finish off your toreadors?
All right, and Jackie Kennedy. They've never suited me anyway. A arse like mine.
Can you not notice it a wee bit? Oh, it is nice and shiny.
Look, I think it's just a rumour about Mr. Shaw and Miss Arthur. I hope it's only a rumour for your sake.
Is it stuff just a rumour? He is getting married to her.
Myra Simpson's big sister works beside Miss Arthur's cousin, who's a Saturday girl in Timothy White's the chemist, and she's a bridesmaid. I only hope Arthur has the decency to wear a long white frock. Piano legs like hers.
She's got a nice face.
I up to a point. Hellish legs, you must admit it.
I mean, I like her.
I like her. I did like her till she got her hooks in Mr. Shaw.
She's a good teacher.
He's a brilliant teacher.
Barbara, you're only saying that because you fancy him.
I don't.
You do.
I don't.
Not really. Barbara, I did do until I knew you did. And then I decided you could because you've more chance on than I do.
Bernadette, he's getting married.
And you're my friend. Barbara, we can't go around fancying the same people as each other anymore. It just doesn't work out. So he's getting married. That's nothing to us. Married, not married. That's not in our universe. But two best friends, Barbara. Two best friends in love with the same man. Disaster.
Can you do that, Bernadette? I don't think you can just decide about feelings. That's not how it works.
Oh, yes, it is. That's exactly how it works. Feelings is a decision.
I don't know. And anyway, I don't see how it matters if we both fancy the same person. I mean, we both fancied Richard Chamberlain last year when everybody in the class went on to Ben Casey.
Oh, that's totally different. Dr. Kildare is a fictional character, but Mr. Shaw's real.
Listen, Bernadette, I love him, and why I love him is he's such a brilliant teacher with nice eyes.
Whose pet you are?
I'm not.
You are. Teacher's pet. Mr. Shaw's wee pet lamb that's always top of the class. I derive great pleasure from reading this essay. 18 out of 20. Barbara, would you read yours out loud?
I wish some of you would take a leaf out of Barbara Proctor's book.
Barbara Proctor this, Barbara
Look, drop it, will you, Bernie? He's getting married.
Are you sad? Tell you the truth, I'm sad he's getting married to Miss Arthur, even though neither of the two of us had any chance anyway. Even you, that is his favourite. Oh, but it's not the end of the world, you know.
Don't tell me what is and isn't the end of the world. Read my fortune.
I read your fortune on Wednesday. This is Saturday. You're supposed to give your future enough time to happen.
I didn't like that future. I want a different future.
It's bad luck.
I'll get the book.
Your fortune in the cards. A queen for a lady, a king for a gentleman. The suit according to his colouring. Hearts of very fair, diamonds of fairish. Clubs of rather dark, spades of very dark. Will represent the person with whom you are, or are destined to be, in love. Oh. Right. Five of clubs. A quarrel with a friend or at work. At school, we don't go to work. A quarrel with a friend or at school. Seven of spades. Injustice. Nine. Danger or risk. Nine of diamonds. News good or bad depends on the cards next to it. The ace of spades. Reversed.
Two days after Bernadette wished the bomb would fall in this dump, and Barbara wished she was dead, and they brought bad luck on themselves tempting fate by asking for a different fortune too soon, it really began to look as if they were about to get their wishes. That President Kennedy would address the American nation at midnight our time on a matter of the greatest national urgency. He told how Russian missile bases were being built on the island of Cuba, just 90 miles off the Florida coast, easy striking distance from American soil.
The purpose of these bases can be none other than to provide a nuclear strike capability against the Western Hemisphere.
The United States were united in the hatred of Cuba, communism, a revolution, and a man called Castro. And very, very frightened by his alliance with Russia.
Is capable of striking Washington, D.C., the Panama Canal, Cape Canaveral.
Kennedy demanded the withdrawal of Soviet offensive missiles from Cuba and imposed a naval quarantine. That was the word he used.
A strict quarantine on all offensive military equipment under shipment to Cuba is being initiated.
Then it got to the bit where you knew it was really scary.
It shall be the policy of this nation to regard any nuclear missile launched from Cuba against any nation in the Western Hemisphere as an attack by the Soviet Union on the United States, requiring a full retaliatory response upon the Soviet Union.
Sounds like that'll be the balloon about to go up.
That sounds like that'll be the balloon about to go up.
What balloon? What balloon?
Never mind.
Whish, Jim. In front of Barbara.
Oh, whish, Frank. You'll have all the wains terrified out of their wits.
You knew there was going to be a war, and they knew there was going to be a war, and all the bad dreams you'd ever had about the atom bomb and the 4-minute warning and the noise of the sirens when they tested them. It was all coming true at last.
That Khrushchev. We should have sorted out the Russians at the end of the last war.
Ah, bloody Kennedy. He's going to get us all killed trying to get himself re-elected president.
Next morning, the newspaper headlines were all big black letters and the words crisis and Cuba. Yet everything on the surface was absolutely normal and you just went to school as usual. On the third day, the scariest day so far of the Cuba crisis, we went to Miss Arthur for modern studies.
Jim!
Do you hear that? Do you hear that?
Modern studies. And what's that when it's at home?
It's a mixture of geography, history, economics.
At least it sounds like something useful. And no yon bloody Latin and Greek dead languages carry on.
Oh, economics.
Economics.
You knew all about economics. You tried to keep you lot in school shoes on what they pay your father.
It's a mixture of geography, history, economics and current affairs.
Oh, well. What did the poor child know?
Blockade. What does the word blockade mean? Sandra?
Miss, it's where the Navy stops ships landing their cargo at an enemy port.
Exactly. A blockade is a naval siege, such as President Kennedy is currently conducting on Cuba. But he didn't actually use the word blockade in his speech. Any idea why? No? Nobody? Well, he used another word instead. Anybody? He used the word quarantine. But what does the word quarantine mean? I mean, normally. Maria? No. Yes?
Miss, is it where you isolate somebody that's full of germs to stop them infecting anybody else?
Very good, yes. So it's an interesting use of the word in this case, isn't it?
Miss, it means America wants to stop Cuba from getting infected with communism.
Benedict Jenkins' dad's a communist.
Yes, you know.
Benedict's great dad says he's going to the war.
Well, I fervently hope not, but Bernadette's dad could be right.
Miss, there isn't going to be a world war, is there? Why do we have to come to school still? Why do I have to do hockey when there's going to be a war?
Miss, is it going to be World War III?
I hope not. Now, back to this language.
Mr. Shaw said there wasn't going to be a war.
I very much hope he's right.
Mr. Shaw said that the atom bomb had kept the peace instead of the last war.
Well, that's a point of view.
Is it true that you're a band the bomber?
Miss, you look like a band the bomber on your duffelcoat.
Are you engaged to Mr. Shaw? Now, the American blockade of Cuba. Why didn't Kennedy use the word?
Call a spade a spade.
Exactly, Bernadette. Any ideas? Well, it was probably a matter of international law. Mr. Gaitskell. Anybody?
Leader of the opposition.
Right. Mr. Gaitskell has raised the question of the legality of the American action in blockading Cuba. A blockade is an act of war. Does one country have the right, in time of peace, to blockade another country by posting its navy in international waters? Also, Gaitskell and others, not the Prime Minister, not Macmillan, or at least not publicly, but many on the left expressed their grave concern at the lack of consultation between the USA and its NATO partners. NATO. Jean Anson?
North Atlantic
Treaty Organization. Good, Pamela.
My dad says Kennedy's crazy and he could kill us all trying to get re-elected.
Everybody knows it's Chris Johnson, isn't it?
He is. He's crazy. He's a communist.
He wears funny suits.
Is that important?
Mrs. Khrushchev wears big bundles of stupid lumpy fur coats. Is this worse than some of the women's guilt?
Lots of women have to drive tractors. Mrs. Kennedy looks like someone out of a magazine.
Yes. Jackie Kennedy looks like $1 million.
Khrushchev's a maniac.
You just believe all the propaganda.
It's the communists that do the propaganda.
I didn't even know what that was.
Calm down, Beth. Bernadette. Propaganda is lies spread by the other side. Truth is our side's view of the matter.
Truth is beauty, and beauty truth. That's what Mr. Shaw said.
Good for him.
That's back to front you. Anyway, it's John Keats.
Good for him. But we were discussing the current situation. Possible ways out of this dangerous situation. The United States could trade their bases in Turkey, which are, after all, just as close to the USSR as these ones the Russians want to build on Cuba are to American soil.
That's totally different.
How is it totally different, Sandra?
It is. My dad says Churchill should have finished off the Russians at the end of the last World War. He says the Ruskies are worse than the Germans any day. Communism's worse than the Nazis.
So does mine. Mine says the Yanks should bomb the Cuban bases and invade straight away. Show Khrushchev who's the boss.
Well, let's hope no one takes that course in the present incendiary situation.
My dad says what this country needs is another war to get this country on its feet.
Then your dad's a maniac with President Kennedy.
No.
Well, Bertrand Russell sent him a telegram telling him so. So he did. Your action desperate. Stop. No conceivable justification. Stop. We will not have mass murder. Stop. End this madness. Stop.
It got worse and worse, though. The Russian forces were in full alert. Khrushchev was crazy, we all knew that. He wore lumpy suits and Cossack hats and was bald and crazy like an angry baby. At the UN, he took off his shoe and banged it on the table and shouted like a furious tyrannical baby, determined to get his own way or bring the whole house down on everybody's head.
Let us pray. O Lord, bless this school and make all of us loyal, obedient, and useful citizens in this our school community. Lord, today in our school assembly, we pray for our country and the world. Bless our leaders in this time of international tension. God bless Mr. McMillan and President Kennedy. They know the course they have embarked on is right and just, and we pray that you will grant them courage to keep to this right course and to have the strength to prevail against those dishonourable peacemongers who would have them compromise with the forces of evil. We thank God for the strength of our leaders in the face of intolerable provocation. We know that it is only when faced with our courage that our enemies will see the error of their ways.
Jeez, that Cairn Cross is as mad as the rest of them, Barbara. Bloody headmasters.
I know, it's getting worse. There are all these Russian ships stopped dead in the water just in front of the US Navy. If any of these lunatics fire, Bernadette...
I know. Madmen. I think it's men that's mad.
You mean mankind?
No, men. Women wouldn't play at cowboys like this.
Women don't get the chance. Women don't get to be the President of the United States. Women don't get to be the Prime Minister.
I'll tell you whose side I'm on.
Whose?
Cuba's.
Cuba? But my dad says Cuba's just a pawn.
A what?
I mean, a pawn, Bernie, you know what I mean? I mean, just a toy in Khrushchev's game.
Exactly. That's why I'm on Cuba's side.
O Lorenzo, if thou keep promise, I shall end this strife, become a Christian, and thy loving wife. All right, we ain't the way you're meant to visit. We'll stop there for back 2 scenes until next week.
Then after next week.
Now take out your approach to poetry. We've got 20 minutes or so left, and we can continue on the romantic. I'd like to get some water for Christmas.
Imagine this might be our final double English we ever get, and we've got to read it on poetry.
Barbara Proctor and Bernadette Briggs, are you two chatting? If you've got something to say, share it with us all, please.
Even on death row, the guys get to pick what they want for their last breakfast, don't they?
Bernadette Briggs, stand up. Repeat what you just said.
I just said, on death row, the condemned men get their favourite meal the day of their execution, sir.
Fascinating. Now, I won't ask from what lurid film on ITV you gleaned this riveting information, nor will I ask you to explain its dubious relevance to the topic on hand, which is the romantic poetry of the early 19th century. John Keats. Bernadette Briggs?
A romantic poet, sir.
Okay, sit down, Bernadette. And no more chattering.
No, sir.
A romantic poet. Anything else? Anyway.
He died, sir.
He died, Eleanor. Yeah, like we all will someday. But yes, John Keats died very young, at the age of 23, of consumption. But not before writing some of the finest, most beautiful, sensuous poems in the English language. Beauty is truth, truth. You take John Keats, Ode on a Grecian Arm. Write it down.
Sir, we said last week.
All right, Bernadette. Write it down again then. Beauty is truth, truth beauty. Now think about that. Turn to page 38. Marianne, you start. A verse each. La Belle Dame sans merci. Translation, please. All right, Bernadette.
The beautiful, ungrateful woman.
How do you make that out? Oh, I see. Literally, Pamela.
The beautiful woman without thanks.
Yes, only here I think it means something much closer to the English mercy. First verse, Maria, then round the class.
Oh, what can ail thee, nice arms, alone and pale loitering? The sedge is withered from the lake, and no birds sing. Oh, what can ail thee, nice arms, so haggard and so woe begone? The squirrel's granary is full, and the harvest is done. I see a lily on thy brow, with anguish moist and fever dew, and on thy cheeks a fading rose, fast withereth too. I met a lady in the mead, so beautiful, a fairy's child. Her hair was long, her foot was light, and her eyes were wild. I made a garland for her head, and bracelets too, and fragrant zone. She looked at me as she did love, and made sweet moan. I sent her on my pacing steed, and nothing else so all day long, for sideways would she lean and sing a fairy song. She found me roots of relish sweet and honey wild and manna dew, and sure in language strange she said, I love thee true. She took me to her elfin grot, and there she gazed and sighed full sore, and there I shut her wild, wild eyes with kisses for.
And there she lulled me asleep, and there I dreamed a woe betide, the latest dream I ever dreamed on the cold hillside.
I saw pale kings and princes too, pale warriors, death pale were they all. They cried, La Belle Dame sans merci hath thee in thrall.
I saw their starved lips in the gloam, with horrid warning gaped white, and I had, and I woke.
Barbara, what's the matter? Did you want to go for a drink of water?
No. No, I don't.
Take Barbara for a drink of water.
It's okay.
It's not. Take her to see
your
house, Father. Tell her she's not
feeling great.
I don't want to.
What's wrong? I'm frightened. There's going to be a war. Ah.
Listen, don't cry. Don't worry. I don't think, really, we have anything to worry about. How many of you have been worrying themselves about the international situation? All of you? What, every single one? Well, the situation's not good. I wouldn't pretend otherwise, but...
Sir, I read a book about Hiroshima, the atom bombs they dropped at the end of the war. The people were turned to ashes. They were as thin as photographs burned onto the buildings, like printed shadows on the brick and stone. And in Nagasaki, a man saw a burning horse in the heart of the city, and its foal ran by its side, and there was no skin or flesh on it, just bare sinews and muscles, and his eyes peeled, and his mouth screaming.
Now, I really think, honestly, that this is a game the world leaders are playing. They know exactly how far to go. They can take it right to the brink, then go back. They don't want a war either. That's the last thing they want. Look, nuclear war is one nobody can win. And they know that. Nuclear weapons have probably saved world peace ever since the end of World War II. Because it's a balance. No one could win. They won't do it. Are you listening to me? I'm not frightened, and I assure you I am one of the world's great cowards. Come on, dry your eyes. Barbara, are you all right?
Yes, sir.
Good. You're feeling better? Good. Now, well enough to read?
Yes.
Excellent. Now, will you read for us till the end of the poem?
I saw their starved lips in the gloam, with horrid warning gaped wide. And I awoke and found me here on the cold hillside.
And this is why I sojourn here, alone and palely loitering, though the sedge is withered from the lake and no birds sing.
In October 1962, at the height of the Cuba crisis, we hid, after the Thursday after-school chess club, in the toilets where the cleaners had already been, and waited till the school emptied. Then we found ourselves in the gloom outside the headmaster's office.
Headmaster, Mr. G. K. Cairncross, M.A., in gold letters.
Oh, gold letters, them.
Fanny, have you ever stolen anything before?
No,
me neither.
Not even when you were wee? Sweeties out of the newsagents?
No.
My big, big brother, when he was wee, stole 2 Mars bars, and the policeman brought them home. By the ear. My father kicked his ass for him and it put us all off.
I enjoyed it.
So did I.
Woolworths was the easiest. But these card pairs at Halfords are the best.
They're a real colour.
Were you scared?
No.
Where did you say you were?
I said I was going to yours to do my homework. What did you say?
I said I was going to yours.
Barbara, do you promise?
Yes.
Blood sisters? It doesn't hurt. Do it. Take the knife, cut your thumb, mix the blood, let it drip. Blood sisters till the end of the world. Amen.
And one single drop of our red blood hit the floor.
Me first. C-U-B-A. Now you, Bernadette. What's that?
Free Cuba. I wish Kennedy and Khrushchev would leave it alone and let them have the revolution and the Fidel Castro handy Havana cigars.
What? There's somebody coming. There is. Hide. Where? It's Mr. Sean.
What the hell is going on?
Looking back now, I suppose Mr. Shaw and Miss Arthur had stayed late at school to make love. After all, Mr. Shaw lived with his widowed mother in a bungalow down Orchard Drive. Everybody knew that. Miss Arthur, well, no doubt she had a similar impossible domestic parental situation. Mr. Shaw, as head of department, had a walk-in book cupboard with an armchair and cups and an electric kettle. I had seen all this when I was sent once to collect a set of Far From the Madding Crowd. No doubt he'd a tartan picnic rug too, and an old one-bar electric fire. I've made happy love myself in far more uncomfortable situations. And it's true what they say about sex and death, isn't it? We were very close to death that week. Anyway, I could tell they felt caught out themselves, catching us.
Stuart, just let them go. Think about it. Better off, from everybody's point of view, we weren't here. We saw nothing.
Girls, what on earth is the meaning of this? Are you crazy? How were you going to get out of the school anyway? You were locked in.
I don't know.
You don't know. Has the whole world gone mad?
I think that's rather the point, Stuart.
She dragged him away to one side. We just stood there. But we could hear every word they were saying nevertheless.
They are really, really upset.
They are upset. Hell, Joyce, we are all upset. I'd never have believed this. Two of my very best pupils.
They won't do it again.
Oh, by God, they won't. Joyce, we have to report this to Cairncross first thing in the morning. God,
give me your keys, Stuart.
What?
Give me the car keys.
Joyce.
I'll drive them home. They're upset. Go to the Royal Oak. I'll meet you in the Royal Oak later.
She drove us home. She didn't say anything. She didn't come in and say anything to her parents. She even let each of us off at the end of our roads so we wouldn't be seen getting out of a car and have to answer any awkward questions. All she said to both of us was that she would see us in the morning, we must come to school as usual, and that everything would be all right.
Capite nunc tauri. Tauri, Sandra Miller.
Bill, sir.
She said it would be okay. This act is magnificent.
Capite nunc tauri deceptum montibus herbas dum licet. Seize while you may, O bones, the grass of the seven hills. Seven hills. Susan Lockwood?
Oh, it doesn't matter. You'll be dead next week. Like Bertram Russell says.
Seven hills are wrong, sir.
The Russian ships have changed course. It says it on the news this morning.
Seven hills of Rome, precisely. For as we see, hic magnae iam nobis urbis erit.
Glimmer of hope. That's what it said.
Maureen?
No.
No. Gina?
I think there is no hope, and there is no hope they would report us.
Here's
the great city.
Erit,
Gina,
Erit.
But future
kids. I think we're safe. Future kids. Here shall be the site of a great city. Roma, tuum nomen. Rome, your name.
Look at it this way, Barbara. What were they doing in the school to get us to leave?
Militat omnis amans et habet sua castra cupido. Lovers are soldiers all, in Cupid's, literally in Cupid's camp, in Cupid's private army.
Imagine, Barbara, if the bomb fell and you've still never ever done it.
Lovers are soldiers all in Cupid's private army. Ovid, the great Latin poet. Ah, messenger approaches.
Please, Mr.
Fenton,
Mr.
Kenshaw
is supposed to
see Barbara Proctor later. Right away. What have you two been up to, eh? Barbara Proctor, Bernadette Green, to the headmaster, Barbara. Ut erat sacer annus ad alas, see the sacred lamb advances to the shining altar.
Solvent to get this off. At the headmaster's office, Mr. Shaw was inside with Cairn Cross. Behind closed doors, well, they would have been closed, but two cleaners were attacking our lovely graffiti with soap, water and strippers, so they stood wide to the world. And we could hear every word.
Sit down. You two sit down out there until I'm ready to deal with you.
Mr. Cairncross, I really think this has been a case of one weak pupil being led astray by a stronger and far more wicked nature. Barbara Proctor is a very sensitive girl, a very gifted pupil. I don't think I've had a better in all the years I've been teaching.
The doctor's daughter? Jim Proctor's daughter? Yeah. I know him well. Play golf with him. Her mother is a distinguished former pupil of this school, you know, captain of the school in 1938-39. I know that because it was the year after I pipped Jim Proctor to the post for Doctor the Boys High. He used to dance with Jean at the tennis club dances when I was home and leave during the war. Who's the other girl?
Bernadette Griggs.
Griggs? I don't know any Griggses.
Miss Arthur came along then. She went away when she saw us. She came and stood beside us, outside the headmaster's open door. She took us each by the hand and marched us in.
Courage.
Come in, you two. Miss Arthur, don't you have a class?
Miss Arthur still held us both by the hand. The three of us stood in that study.
Not right now, Mr. Cairncross. I've got a free lesson.
Don't you have some marking?
Don't punish these girls.
Miss Arthur...
Joyce. I warned you, Stuart, and I meant it. Here's your ring.
Joyce, for goodness sake, this is neither the time or the place.
Take it, or I'll throw it on the floor. Take it.
After the longest time, Mr. Shaw took the ring and put it in his pocket.
Miss Arthur, leave us, please. I have something to discuss with you later. I have had complaints. Complaints from several parents about you frightening the girls. Frightening the girls and political indoctrination.
I resign. Headmaster, I wish to give in my notice.
Well. Well, may you hang your heads in shame, the pair of you. Barbara Proctor. Bernadette Griggs. Now, what do you two have to say for yourselves? Nothing? Nothing.
Cuba? Cuba Libre?
What is this nonsense?
I wrote it on the wall. Kennedy's mad. Kennedy's mad and Khrushchev is mad. I'm a Belgium. I'm a Belgium sans merci, Cuba Libre.
Be quiet. Barbara Proctor, what do you have to say for yourself? I'm waiting. Come on, staring at the fall of that.
It was my idea. Basically, it was my idea, and Barbara just went along with me.
Well? Well, Barbara Proctor, what do you have to say?
I said nothing. All I had to say was that it wasn't true. Though it was sort of, indeed it was Bernadette's idea to become Cuba, the two-girl gang, but I had been wild to be a part of it. I stole the red car paint. I made the first mark on Cairn Cross's door. And I was severely disciplined. My parents were called in. I was stripped of my class vice captain's badge, banned from any school outings, denied all privileges for the rest of the term. While Bernadette was expelled.
Darling, Barbara, it isn't the end of the world.
Never mind, darling. Oh, Bernadette, it's not the end of the world.
Oh, come on.
It wasn't. Cuba fizzled out. Touch and go, everybody said that. We'd been hours away from Armageddon. If Khrushchev hadn't withdrawn on Sunday, but they did, and the crisis was over, in exchange for a promise that America would never again invade Cuba, and, unofficially, for some of those American bases in Turkey. The important thing was that nobody was to lose face. In America, it was to be victory for Kennedy, and in Russia, victory for Khrushchev. Bernadette and I were never friends again. When we were forced to pass each other in the street, she would look through me and I would just look away. Usually she would be with some other friends of hers, from the rough school. But to this day, any time there's anything on TV about Kennedy, whether it's about him and Marilyn Monroe, or another theory about who it actually was that pulled the trigger that fired the fatal shot that killed the president in that motorcade in Dallas. Every time I think of Cuba and Bernadette, I think of her as La Belle Dame sans merci. I met a lady in the meads.
I met a lady.
Full beautiful. A fairy's child.
A fairy's child.
Her hair was long.
Her hair was long.
Her foot was
her
light.
Her foot was light.
And
her eyes were wild.
In Cuba, by Liz Lockhead, young Bernadette was played by Julie Wilson-Nimmo and young Barbara by Pauline Lockhart. Older Barbara was played by Liz Lockhead. Jean Proctor was Carol Ann Crawford. Dr. Jim Proctor, Sandy Welsh. Jean Griggs, Grace Glover, and Frank Griggs, Vincent Friel. Miss Arthur was Gerda Stevenson, Mr. Shaw, Lewis Howden, Cairn Cross, Finlay Welsh, and Prentice, Ralph Riak. Marianne was Elisa Anderson, Susan, Rachel Boyd, Pamela, Lucy Brown, Jean Anne, Carrie Corbett, The Messenger Girl, Asha Gupta, Nolene, Claire Joss, Sandra, Susan Robertson, Beth, Sally Thompson-McDermott, Linda, Elizabeth Tierney, Maureen, Catherine Tierney, and Eleanor, Cara Tormey. We'd like to thank the staff and pupils of Hillhead High School, Glasgow, and the girls of their choir for their help in making this production, which was recorded on location at the school and in our Edinburgh studio. The play was produced and directed by Marilyn Imrie.